الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى أصحابه أجمعين ومن اتبع سنته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، and we, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending salawat wa salam ala Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we continue with this this amazing science of ilmu hadith, the science of hadith. And I believe we have reached the 13th and 14th qism category from ulum al-hadith. The 13th and the 14th qism min ulum al-hadith, and that is al-ali wal-nazil. Al-ali wal-nazil. Al-ali being high, so to speak, wal-nazil being lower, so to speak. فَقَالَ الْبَيْقُونِ رَحْمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَكُلُّ مَا قَلَّتْ رِجَالُهُ عَلَى وَضِدُّهُ ذَاكَ الَّذِي قَدْ نَزَلَى وَكُلُّ مَا قَلَّتْ رِجَالُهُ عَلَى وَضِدُّهُ ذَاكَ الَّذِي قَدْ نَزَلَى. And it says every narration where the narrators are minimal in the isnad is considered ala, yani al-ali. So an ali isnad is that which where the narrators are less in the isnad. وَضِدُّهُ ذَاكَ الَّذِي قَدْ نَزَلَ. And its opposite is al-nazil. قَدْ نَزَلَ يعني is come down, meaning that there are many narrators in the chain. There are many narrators in the chain. And this بَارَكَ فِيكُمْ الْعَالِي وَالْنَازِلِ is min ashraf. Is from the most beautiful of topics in the ilm al-hadith. And regarding this, we're going to deal with a few points. We're going to deal with a few points. Nuqtatul ula, and that is, remember, this is the 13th and the 14th. The 13th being al-ali, and the 14th topic in the science of hadith here in Bayquniya is al-nazil. So we're doing two in one, so to speak. Point number one, the definition of al-ali. The definition of al-ali in lughatan is irtafa, raised up, high. In high in its station, high in its status. Lughatan, yani linguistically, irtafa. As the Shaykh, he says, حَفِذُهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَذَلِكَ بِسَبِبِ قُرْبِهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And al-ali is considered irtafa, raised up in station, because of the closeness of the one who's narrating it to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning that between the one that's authored that book of hadith and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, minimal narrators, which means he's closer to the time and closer to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam as it relates to the narration. And that's why it's called. That's why it's called al-ali, yani irtafa. And we defined it generally as al-Bayquni, rahimahullah ta'ala, defined it, and that is al-ali is that which the narrators wa kullu ma qallat rijaluhu ala, like he mentioned. That's a definition, good definition, and that is that which that isnad in which the narrators in the chain are minimal. The amount of them are minimal. That is the definition of al-ali, where the narrators in the isnad are minimal in the chain. And the second point we're going to mention is a definition of a nazil. And a nazil, lughatan, is didul ali. A nazir is lughatan, it means adani, yani that which is lesser. That which is lesser, so to speak. ولماذا? Why? لبعده عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because a nazil, it means between the one that's authoring the book of hadith, for example, and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's maybe 8 narrators. So this is nazil. There's a lot of people between him and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لِبُعْدِهِ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. For his narration, he's part on the chain, okay, it's nazil because he's part of the chain, has a distance between him and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are people between them. As for the Ali, there are minimal people between them. That's point number two. Point number three is the virtues of Al-Ulu. The virtues of Al-Ulu, yani Al-Ali. Al-Ulu fi Sanad. Sanad Al-Ali. Looking for that chain where there's lesser people between you and the Qail. The one that is narrating between you and them. This is looking for Sanad al-Ali. The fadila of this, there are two virtues of this type of ilm hadith al-Ali. And the first of them is, as we mentioned, it's qurb an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's qurbhi min Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator who has this Sanad al-Ali has a closeness to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وفي ذلك بركة. Closeness in that between him and the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as in the case of Imam Malik, is only 2 people. Imam Malik, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his Muwatta, he has only 2 people. This is a virtue. And this is what every scholar of hadith, every talib al hadith wants, to find that narration or that isnad where there are less people. So this is why we have rihla ila talib al-ilm or talib al-hadith. We have scholars traveling ila aqsa dunya, ends of the earth. Why? To get closer to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam as it relates to the chain. That there are minimal people between him and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Which is why you find Bukhari, he traveled everywhere for that. And also Salamukum Allah, Tirmidhi as well, traveled ila aqsa dunya in order to attain this Ali because of the fadila of qurb ila Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being close as it relates to the chain, fewer people between them and the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second, Muhammad ibn Aslam At-Tusi, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, qurbul isnad قُرْبَةٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَ وَجَلْ قُرْبَةُ الْإِسْنَادِ قُرْبَةٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَ وَجَلْ. Having this closeness in the chain between you and the person saying it, yani the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is قُرْبَةٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ, is getting close to Allah, getting close to the Allah, because the sunnah is a revelation from Allah. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَاحٍ يُحَى. He doesn't speak from his desires, but is the revelation revealed to him. So the sunnah is wahi. So the closer you get in the isnad to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is closer you get to Allah, as he revealed the sunnah to the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The second benefit, Muhammad ibn Aslam At-Tusi. Muhammad ibn Aslam At-Tusi, rahmatullahi alayhi. Tamam. Then the second benefit is the less people in the isnad, the less mistakes there could be. Yani, the more people you have in the isnad, the more possibility that there's khata. So this is why the ulama of hadith, they used to travel to get those chains where there are less. Because the more you have in the chain, not saying that it's definite, but it's more probable that there will be more mistakes. So the more you have in the chain, the more you have in the chain, is there is more possibility there'll be mistakes. But the less you have in the chain, you have the Ali, not the Nazil. You have the Ali, is more probability and possibility that there will be no mistakes. So this is why the ulama, they sought this amazing aspect of the ilm hadith. And this year, barakallahu feekum, shows us the sharaf al-Islam, the virtue of Islam. And we make this point number four. And that is the isnad, the virtue of isnad in this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've taken from this the kalam of As-Sakhawi from the ulama of hadith, who came and he explained the alfiyah of al-Iraqi in his book Fath al-Mughith bi sharhi alfiyah al-hadith. In Fath al-Mughith, he mentions a nice fa'idah which I've wanted to share with my brothers, and we'll read it together bi idnillah. He said, أصل الإسناد أولا خصيصة فاضلة من خصائص هذه الأمة. He said, the origin of الإسناد is that it's a specific virtue from the specific virtues for this nation, this Ummah, the Muslims. وسنة بالغة من السنن. And it is from the way of the Salaf. It's a Sunnah of the Salaf, رحمه الله تعالى. And the Sunnah of them is the seeking of al-ulu, for example, and waikum salam, being stringent as it relates to the isnad. And he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَقَدْ رُوِينَا مِنْ تَرِيقَ أَبِي الْعَبَّاسَ الدَّغُولِ. And he's showing his narration from Abil Abbas الدَّغُولِ. قَالْ سَمِعْتُ مُحَمَّدِ ibn Hatim ibn Mudaffar يَقُولْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ أكرم هذه الأمة وشرفها وفضلها بالإسناد وليس لأحد من الأمم كلها قديمها وحديثها إسناد إنما هو صحف في أيديهم وقد خلطوا بكتبهم أخبارهم فليس عندهم تمييز بين ما نزل من التوراة والإنجيل وبين ما ألحقوه بكتبهم من الأخبار التي أخذوها عن غير الثقات. And this is something that I thought I shared with my brothers, and this is something we have to have in our pocket in giving da'wah. And that is, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, upon his isnad, that he's taken from Abu al-Abbas al-Daghuli. Abu al-Abbas al-Daghuli. This Imam of Hadith from Khorasan. He's from Khorasan, al-Daghuli. Al-Daghuli said, I heard from Muhammad ibn Hatim ibn Mudaffar that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored this ummah and given virtues to this ummah with the isnad. And there isn't an ummah, yani from other nations, whether it's the present, the past, that have isnad. It's only the Muslims that have isnad. And I remember a week or so ago, a brother asked me on WhatsApp, what is the virtue of us studying this ilm hadith? This is it. This is something that Allah has given to us, the Muslims, this isnad. This isnad is a weapon against those who lie on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says that this ummah is the only ummah that has been given isnad. As for the other ummah, innama huwa suhufun bi aydihim, they only have scriptures. They don't have isnad. We have isnad. We have the science of hadith. We have this hirs in looking for al-ulu in isnad. As for the others, nations, they have is suhuf. And this suhuf, these scriptures, have been mixed up with statements from this person and that person, and they don't have any means to distinguish that which is correct and that which is false in the Torah or the Injil. And then he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, that they do not have the ability to find out who is a trustworthy narrator from those who have narrated or those who have given them the suhuf. They don't have the science of hadith. We have this, alhamdulillah. So this is one of the reasons why we're studying this. It's a ni'mah that Allah has given us. the ilm or hadith, and we have to embrace it and be from those who are shakirin, and from having gratitude regarding this isnad or regarding this virtue of ilm or hadith is studying the science of hadith, is studying the science of the Abu Hatim al-Razi rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, لَمْ يَكُمْ فِي أُمَّةٍ مِنَ الْأُمَّمْ منذ خلق الله آدم أمناء يحفظون آثار الرسل إلا في هذه الأمة. He says, Abu Hatim al-Razi, لم يكن في أمة من الأمم منذ خلق الله آدم أمناء يحفظون آثار الرسل إلا في هذه الأمة. Abu Hatim al-Razi رحمه الله تعالى, he said, there isn't in any of the nations before, since the creation of Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, trustworthy people who have preserved the remnants and the narrations of the messengers, except this ummah. Except this ummah. No other. Which is why you find in the Christians, there's inqita. There is a cut-off point between Luke, Matthew, Mark, and John, and Isa. Sinin, years. They don't have the isnad. They have not been given that virtue. But the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we have isnad to this day up until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Bel, we have isnad up to Allah. Don't we? Naam. We have the isnad from the from up unto Allah, from Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril, Allah. We have isnad, but as for the Christians and the Yahud and other religions and umam, they do not have this, and that's why Thawid rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, al isnad usulah al mu'min, fi idha lam yakun ma'ahu silahun bi ayyi shay'in yuqatil. He said, Sufyan, Thawid rahimahullah ta'ala, that the isnad is the weapon of the believer. If they do not have their weapon, then with what do they fight? With what do they fight those who lie? With what do they fight those who try and infiltrate? They don't have the isnad, but the believer has the isnad. That's their weapon. So I advise myself and my dear brothers to pay attention to this affair. I know that when we're doing this and we're reading through this kalam of the ulama as it relates to ilm al-hadith, there is an intent behind it. And that is, first of all, to show gratitude to that favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Secondly, to increase us iman in the certainty of the narrations that we hear from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thirdly, is to be able to refute those liars from the mustashriqeen, those orientalists who may try and add and take out and subtract from the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and lie. And also, fourthly, defense. We defend the sunnah from the people of innovation who try and infiltrate and bring narrations in order to call to their deviance in aqidah and so forth. Walhamdulillah. Nasallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah and you meet in ala sunnah, and that we be from those who defend the sunnah in any capacity. Point number five. Point number five. And that is that we have ulu, the different categories of ulu. The different categories of ulu. Al-ulu qisman. Al-ulu. You know what we mean by ulu? What do we mean by al-ulu? We mean that there are minimal people in the chain between you and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is categorized into two categories. Ulu mutlaq and ulu nisbi. The absolute ulu, I can't find one word in English to explain ulu. I cannot find one word in English to explain ulu. I can only give you a sentence. Because they don't have it, do they? So, ulu mutlaq, I'll say is the absolute ulu. And that is between the person who has the hadith, collected hadith, to the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mutlaq. Absolute. Complete ulu. That's number one. Now, and the second category is ulu nisbi, علو نسبي. علو نسبي. And that is, barakallahu fiqh, القرب بالنسبة إلى رواية الشيخين أو أصحاب سنن الأربع. And that is, they have علو as it relates to Bukhari and Muslim. يعني, or the books of the Sunan, like Sunan Abi Dawood, Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah. And that is that they share almost, as a category of muwafaqah, they call it, share the chain with the ulama from these books. Okay? So as it relates to them, they have that ulu. As it relates to them, they have that ulu. So it's a relative ulu. It's a relative ulu. And this is why we have mustakhrajat, where some of the ulama, for example, have looked at the books of Bukhari and seen his chain and have tried to agree with the amount of people in their chain, with their book. Okay? And we have the mustakhrajat, which is another science, a type of ta'leef and authoring of the ilm hadith and books of hadith and narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in that somebody takes the hadith from Bukhari, for example, and Bukhari has his own chain, and they find another chain which is close to the amount of men in the chain of Bukhari. Is that clear? Naam? So Bukhari has a chain of hadith, and he has narrators in there, three, for example, or four. And he has the same hadith, this other alim, and he wants to bring that hadith from a different chain. From a different chain. And he tries to make sure that he brings it early, so it's close to the ulu of Bukhari. Are you with me? So some people, they do mustakhraj of Bukhari, and they have eight people in their chain. They come to the same hadith, but they can only find the different chain that they found has eight between them and the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But some ulama try harder and find, we can find other chains for this same hadith that Bukhari has. He had three, we try and get as close as we can. So they may get four, they may get five, and so forth. Are you with me? So the best istikhraj is like taking the hadith from Bukhari and having another chain to show the abundance of the hadith in its presence in the science. So the ulu here, nisbi, is to try and get as close to as many, to get as high as Bukhari in his ulu. To get as high as Bukhari in his ulu. Some have managed eight, where Bukhari has managed three. Is that, would you say that's Ali or Nazil, Shreya? Nazil. And some have got to five. Ishraik. Labat, huh? Huh? It's Shreya ulu. It's getting there. So that's the juhud that some ulama have. Okay, I want to go and focus on the books, that the hadith that Bukhari has collected, and I'm going to try and get as little as he has in the chain, but not using the same chain. Another chain. Okay? And this istikharajat is very good for strengthening a narration. Strengthening a narration. That's an example there. And with it comes muwafaqah. Muwafaqah, it means that they have the same amount as Bukhari. And we have different other ones, but we're not going to go there. Tayyib. And we have ulu nisbi also. Another example of ulu nisbi is al-ulu bitaqaddami wafat al-rawi. And that is that the narrators in the chain are older. For example, as old as they can be, as aqdam as they can be. So for example, we have the generation, the second generation, and we have the third generation in Islam, we have the second generation in Islam, and we have the first generation in Islam. So they try and look at the oldest narrator who narrated that hadith, the oldest in the third generation. And they go to the second, and they look for who? The what? The oldest in the second generation. This is al-ulu nisbi. This is relative to age of the narrator. Wadih? Look at the just so they can get as close and get as assured as they can. Talib mai? Huh? So this ulu nisbi sometimes can be
Yani the relative ulu with what? With age. So for example, in a third generation, they look for the oldest. For example, from the students of a narrator, they look at his oldest student. So you look at Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he's an isnad. And you want to find out, he has five students that narrated from him. That hadith. You have five of them that narrated from the hadith. And one of them is the oldest one, and the one that's been with him the longest. Which one do you, and this one has less. They look for the what? The oldest. That's relative ulu, okay? So the ulu mutlaq is to Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My? The absolute ulu. Yani, there's nothing more than that. Meaning that between the author of that book, that compilation of hadith, and the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a minimal amount of narrators. Ulu nisbi, I want to get close to Bukhari. In his ulu. Ulu nisbi, I want to get the oldest student of Bukhari. I want to get the oldest student of Sufyan. And I want to narrate on them. Because they're the oldest. Now, point number six. Point number six is the books of hadith and how many narrators they have between them and the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imam Malik had the best ulu, the highest ulu that he has is two. Two narrators between him and the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine that. There's only two people between him and who? The Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Thulathiyat, those who have three between them and the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, Tirmidhi, and Ibn Majah. Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih, Sunan of Tirmidhi, al-Jami', and Ibn Majah. They have three between them. They have some narrations, three between them. Imam Bukhari, without repetition, has about 16 of these narrations that are three, thulathiyat, between him. So could you imagine how late he died and how hard he must have traveled in order to get this ulu? He must have traveled a lot in order to find those who are closest in narration, in the chains to the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for Imam Muslim, he has ruba'i. Imam Muslim in his Sahih has ruba'i. What's ruba'i? Four between him and the messenger. And he even has some as nazil as eight, Imam Muslim. Now, and nine. Again, this is one of the reasons why they hold Bukhari to be what? Stronger. Or asah. And Nasa'i, ruba'i, is the highest he's got. Yani four between him and the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abi Dawood, in his Sunan, four as well. So let me repeat. Two, Imam Malik. Three, Bukhari, yalla. Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah. Kha, ta, and qaf, if you like. Kha for Bukhari, ta for Tirmidhi, and qaf for Ibn Majah. Qazwini, naam. Four, Muslim. Imam Muslim Sahih, and who else? Nasa'i and Abu Dawood. Naam. So this shows you the juhud and the efforts of the ulama in establishing minimal narrators between them and the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah for the deen of al-Islam. 15th category in the ilmu hadith. Al-Mawquf. Al-Mawquf. قال البيقوني رحمه الله تعالى وما أضفته إلى الأصحاب من قول وفعل فهو موقوف زك وما أضفته إلى الأصحاب من. And whatever you attribute to the companions from their statements, actions, then this is considered موقوف زك يعني علم. It's well known. We've done before, and it would have been more befitting if Al-Bayquni had mentioned this after what? After Marfu. And then he should mention Marfu, and then Mawquf, and then مقطوع. Because we mentioned that مرفوع is where it ends with who? الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And we said that مقطوع is where it ends and is cut off at who? The تابعين رحمهم الله. And موقوف is when it's cut off at الصحابه. And we know the ruling on that. And we can mention this in an important point, and that is that this comes under the category of تقسيمات الحديث باعتبار منتهاه. تقسيمات الحديث باعتبار منتهاه. And that is categorizing hadith with respect to where it ends. So موقوف comes under that category. The categorization of الحديث, of hadith with respect to where it ends. Mawquf means waqaf. Yani waqafa in the sahaba. It doesn't go past them. I have a question. In a sahaba mentions an affair of aqeedah. Is that mawquf? Is what? Marfu'ish. Hukman. Naam. So let's go for a nice maybe a general definition for mawquf. And that is with what Bayquni mentions, rahimahullah ta'ala. And we can say, that which is attributed to the companions, that which is attributed, ma wa ma adaftahu wa ma udifa ila sahaba, that which is attributed to the companions, from their actions and statements, from that which they have agreed and acknowledged, that which does not have any indication of it being marfu'. Does it make sense? I'll say it again. That which is attributed to the companions from their statements, min qawlin aw fi'lin, from their statements or actions and their acknowledgements and their characteristics, that which there is no indication that it is marfu'. And from the things that is indication that is marfu, is if it's in affairs of aqeedah or the unseen, then this is an indication that this they took it from who? Al-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Naam. Khalas, we go to the next one inshallah. And that is mursal. And this is As-Sadis Asha. This is the 16th qism from the Ulum al-Hadith. Qala al-Bayquni rahimahullah ta'ala wa mursalun minhu as-sahabiyyu saqat. Wa mursalun minhu as-sahabiyyu saqat. And that is mursal, from it is where a companion is deleted in the isnad. Where the companion is not mentioned and is deleted in the isnad. That's his definition of mursal. That's his definition of mursal. Point number one. Point number one is that this definition is not precise. This definition of Bayquni in this part of the poetry is not precise. وَلِمَاذَا? Because he's saying مِنْهُ الصَّحَابِيٌّ سَقَطْ, that from it is a companion that has been deleted or subtracted. If it's a companion, then it's not a problem. Because the Ashab Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kulluhum udur. All of the companions of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are trustworthy. So if we did know ilm, and it's known that the individual that's missing in that chain is a companion, we have nothing to worry about. Then this is not min qabil al-da'if. Wa laysa bi mardud. It's not from the categories and sections of weak hadith, and it's not to be rejected because the companions are trustworthy. We don't know. It doesn't matter who they are from the companions. If it's a narration that we are ascertained that individual missing is a companion, then khalas, it's not mursal, or it's considered mursal al-sahaba, and mursal al-sahaba maqbula, it's accepted. Naam. Point number two. Point number two is the correct definition for mursal. Rahmatullahi ala al-Bayquni, but he made a mistake in this definition. The correct definition for mursal is ma adafuhu tabi'iyu ila rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sawa'un kana tabi'i saghiran am kabira. And that is that which is attributed by the tabi'i to the messenger. Yani a tabi'i says, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A tabi'i meaning the second generation. Not the first from the companions, the tabi'i in the second generation. They say, and Rasulullah, the messenger said, or I saw the messenger, or the messenger is narrated on the messenger that he said, and so forth. So where on kana tabi'i, saghiran or kabira. Whether he, the tabi'i, is an elder from the older ones or the younger ones. From the older ones or the older ones or the younger ones. So is that which the tabi'i attributes to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even if he is small or young, or he is from the older tabi'in. Point number three, and that is the mursal accepted? We understand that the mursal now has someone missing in that chain. Baykuni says is a companion. Is that correct? No. It's a who? Tabi. It's a tabi that has narrated it, not that a companion's mission. Now, when the tabi narrates it, barakallahu feekum, that which we have to pay attention to is the issue of jihala. Our problem with this now is obscurity. That one that is missing could be a tabi, narrating from a tabi, from another tabi. And we can go on, and they can be weak. They could be liars. The tabi that narrated on that tabi who is missing, maybe he had good thoughts for him. But the issue of the unseen and the unknown is why this mursal is considered by some of the ulama as being from the affairs of weak hadith. Because of the jihala. Because of the issue that we do not know who is that individual that is missing. Bayquni says sahaba. No, it could be a sahaba, it could not be a sahaba. It could be a sahaba, it could be a tabi'i, it could be a tabi'i that's younger than that tabi'i. I mean, we have Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, who narrated on Tirmidhi, and Tirmidhi is younger. Yani, so the obscurity is why this is an issue now amongst the ulama. So the ulama split into three different madhahib, three different methodologies regarding the acceptance of mursal. Three different methodologies regarding the what? The acceptance of what? Mursal. The first, is rejecting it. The first opinion is rejecting it totally. And this is brought by An-Nawawi, rahimahullah. Yani, waraddu amul bihi, and you do not act and implement a hadith that is mursal. An-Nawawi, he brings this in his muqaddama of Sahih Muslim, in his sharh, in his explanation. And that is through a majority, a lot of the muhaddithin. From those muhaddithin, or from the Shafi'iyya, and the Malikiyya, and Hanafiyya, and a narration of Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah. لا يحتاجون بمرسل. They do not accept it as a proof or as something that should be taken as authentic. And the proof of this is what we mentioned previously, and that is the issue of jihala, that there is an unknown individual missing, and because of the fact that that individual is unknown, it could be a weak narrator. For example, the issue of Shadh, we won't be able to ascertain whether he's opposed those who are awthaq minhu. Remember the issue of Shadh? Muqa'ish? Huh? Mukhalafati man? Al-maqbool liman huwa? Awthaq minhu. That's Shadh. And that is the opposition of someone who's an accepted narrator to those who are stronger than him. We don't know who you are to compare you. Whether anta awthaq minhu or adna. We don't know whether you're stronger or you're not. We don't know if you're munkar. And the definition of munkar is mukhalafatul da'if lithiqqa or thiqat. You could be a da'if narrator and you're opposing thiqat. And because of this obscurity and unknown, this ulama, the ulama of this opinion, they say that it should not be implemented and acted upon. The second madhab, al-ihtijaju bihi mutlaqa. And that is the opinion that we can accept mursal. Accept it. Is the tabi, is a thiqah, He's a trustworthy tabi'i, and he says, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. They say, we accept it. We accept this irsal. And this is attributed to Imam Malik. The other one was attributed to the madhab of Imam Malik, meaning the ulama. This one is specifically attributed to who? Malik himself. There's a difference when you say the madhab of Malikiyah, and there's a difference when you say Malik. When you say madhab of Malikiyah, it could be many of the ulama from the Malikiyah. But when you say Imam Malik, it means him specifically. And also Abu Hanifa, and also Ibn Qayyim, and Ibn Kathir. Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentions this in I'lam Waqi'in, and Ibn Kathir, he mentions this in his Mukhtasar of Ulum al-Hadith. So they're of the opinion that there's Hujjah, this is Hujjah, and Mursal should be accepted. The third opinion, وهذا مذهب مروي عن كثير من الأئمة وهو الاحتجاج بمرسل بملاحظات تدققوا فيها منهم الإمام شافعي رحمه الله واحتج بمرسل التابعين إذا أسند من جهة أخرى أو أرسله من أخذ عن غير رجال الأول أو وافق قول الصحابي أو أفتى أكثر علماء بمقتداه ذكره الإمام نووي رحمه الله. And that third opinion is they accept. But they accept with conditions. They accept the mursal with conditions. And from those conditions is that the tabi'i who has that irsal has connected it and mentioned a narrator in another chain. And there's another chain, a mirror chain, so to speak, a mirror chain. And in that chain, he's mentioned. But in this chain, he hasn't mentioned. So we accept it. And, or, the narration is in agreeance with a statement of the companion. That mursal narration is in agreeance with the statements of, or the fatawa of, the companions. Yani it's agreeance with mawquf. Remember mawquf, ya ahibba? It's in agreeance with one of the mawqufat of the sahaba, radiyallahu anhum. Or, after akthar ulama bi muqtada. Or, the majority of scholars have made fatwa and given rulings which is in necessitates and is in accordance to that narration. And this is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, rahimullah. This is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i, and he, rahimullah ta'ala, he is the one that emphasized the acceptance of the irsal, marasil, No, they've given a fatwa. And that fatwa is in accordance to...
But they haven't used that to make...
No, but the fatwa is in accordance. Akthar, the majority of the scholars, their fatwa, that hadith necessitates it. That hadith, even though it's mursal, necessitates it. And that's the opinion of who, ikhwa? Imam Shafi, rahimullah. Then. This third opinion is one that Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala is known for and holds strongly. And from those tabi'i that he was ardent in he accepting the irsal is Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. And he mentions this in Al-Umm. Al-Shafi'i mentions narrations from Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib that Sa'id says, "Anna Rasul." There's a narration here where he said, Imam Shafi'i, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, أَخْبَرَنَا مَالِكْ عَنْ زَيْدِ ibn أَسْلَمْ عَنْ سَعِيدْ ibn مُسَيِّبْ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ نَهَا عَنْ بَيْعِ اللَّحْمِ بِالْحَيْوَانِ. And that is, he said that Imam Malik told him, because he was a student of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, that Zayd ibn Aslam narrated from Sa'id ibn Musayyib that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم prohibited a business transaction between dead meat and meat that's alive. And he doing transaction between a dead cow, for example, and beef. You cannot do, according to this narration, salamakumullah, a business transaction with dead meat and meat that's alive. If you notice in the isnad, did he mention a sahaba? What did he say? And Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, anna Rasulullah. So this is what? This is what? This is Mursal. This is Mursal. According to Imam Shafi'i, we accept this because Sa'id ibn Musayyib of who he is. Because of who he is. And also there's narrations from Ibn Abdullah ibn Abbas which go in accordance to this. What's the correct opinion? What's the safest opinion? The safest opinion is reject Mursal. And that is the correct opinion, whoever it comes from. Is to reject Mursal from whoever it comes from unless there is a qareena. Unless there is a clear indication that the one that is missing is the companions or one of the companions of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. La budda an takuna qareena tadul. There has to be clear indication to show that the one missing in this chain is from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the safest and most correct opinion in this affair of Irsal. And we're not going to go into too much detail as it relates to the categories of Irsal, as we'll probably touch upon that inshallah when we deal with Mudallis. When we deal with who? The Mudallis, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Not next week, there's no lesson next week, the week after inshallah. Let's move on. And this opinion that I've just given you, barakallahu feekum, is the strongest opinion, and it's one that's mentioned by Abu Nu'aym, rahimahullah ta'ala, in Hilya, and other than him as Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, rahimahullah. The 17th science that we're going to deal with is Al-Gharib. Is what? الغريب وقل غريب ما روى راو فقط وقل غريب ما روى راو فقط. The 17th category of the ilm of hadith is al-gharib. Yani you can call it strange. Is al-gharib. And al-gharib, al-Bayquni rahimahullah ta'ala, he says وقل, and say wa, yani wa, regarding the 17th category of the science of hadith, say, Gharib is that which the only one narrator in that isnad, yani that tabaka of isnad, that stage of the isnad. That stage of the isnad, there's only one narrator, this is called Gharib. This is called Gharib. And another wording that the ulama of hadith they use for gharib is al-fard, singular, al-fard. So gharib is al-fard. Allahu a'lam, it would have been better if he had joined this with what, ikhwan? What do you think? Aziz and mashhur. So we have mashhur, which is what? Thalatha fa أكثر لم يبلغ إلى درجة تواتر. And then we have Al-Aziz, which is what? Two. It's not less than two. And the next one is now غريب. مشهور, point number one. Point number one. مشهور المشهور العزيز and الغريب أخبار أحد. The ulama, when they talk about khabru ahad, yanqasim ila thalathata aqsam, three categories, khabru ahad. And that is mashhur, which we done when? Last week or the week before. And who? Al-Aziz. And now today? Al-Gharib. It would have been better if he had made them what? Together. But possibly because of the poetry and the sequence of the poetry, he can only do it in this way, as happens in some of the manzumat of the scholars. So this is the Khabr Ahad. So when the ulama talk about Khabr Ahad, they're talking about Mashur, Aziz, and Gharib. But sometimes Yutliquna, they use the term Ahad for Gharib only. Sometimes. But generally, it's all three. Yani, ما لم يبلغش درجعش التواتر. That which has not reached the level of متواتر. Point number two. The definition of gharib. Ta'rif al-gharib. Yani, lughatan, gharib is something which is strange. And also the ulama, they say, wa'taraba واغترب فلان واغترب فلان إذا تزوج إلى غير أقاربه واغترب. The person did اغتراب. Why? If he married, he didn't marry his cousin. He married someone not within the family. اغترب. But the one who marries his cousin didn't do this. So this is where the ulama have taken this meaning from. Yani it's strange. It's what? He's married a stranger. As in not part of the family. So that's the meaning of al-ghurba, yani al-ightirab. The definition of al-gharib, according to ulama of hadith, is as Baykuni, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned, but Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari, hafidhullah ta'ala, has got a more comprehensive definition taken from Ma'rifat al-Ulum al-Hadith and al-Nuzha of Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahimahullah ta'ala, and the Nukat of which Sheikh Rabi' has checked. He says, يعني هو الحديث الذي ينفرد بروايته راو واحد في أي موضع وقع التفرد به من السند. And that is the hadith, the narration that within it a narrator is alone in any aspect, position of the chain. In any aspect or position of the chain. So we may have two companions of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who have narrated the hadith. But the tabi'een is only one, Sa'id ibn Abi Musayyib. And then the atba tabi'een are three. What's this hadith? Is what? Gharib. Because at one point, or at any point in that isnad, ishar, a narrator is on his own. A narrator is on his own. And as we mentioned, it's also called Al-Fard. Point number two. Fadala. Why is it called Gharib? Because it's Aghrab. It's like he's on his own. He hasn't got anyone with him. You know? So somebody who's Gharib Ank or Gharib Ankum, he's on the corner on his own. And he's not blending in. Yeah? So it's called Gharib because he's just on his own. There's no one with him. Yes. No. Because gharib, barakallahu feekum, doesn't mean sahih da'if. It's just a shekel. You understand? Just like mawquf. Salamukumullah, aziz. Just because he's aziz doesn't mean sahih. Or mashur. Naam. So that is point one or two. I lost count. Point number three is the issue of gharib. The issue of gharib is connected to munkar and shadh. I gave you the definition of shadh. And I've given you the definition of munkar a few minutes ago. Do you remember? طيب, what's the definition of shadh? مخالفتش المقبول لمن هو أوثق منه وأولى منه الحافظ mentions rahimullah. And that is opposing somebody who's an accepted narrator, opposing those who are what? Stronger than him. So here is the shakal ikhwan. You have a narration where you've got five huffaz who narrated a specific wording. And this hafiz narrated another word. This is gharib, binisbat hadhi riwayah. Fahimtumuni? Because he is what? Opposed who? The majority. So this is gharib. So he has a connection to shadh. And likewise, a connection to munkar. And munkar al-hadith is مخالفت الضعيف للثقة أو لمقبول للثقة أو لمقبول. Munkar, which we're going to do at the end of the poetry inshallah, is the ضعيف narrator, established weak narrator that opposes any trustworthy narrator. So again, this is infirad. Yes or no? So he's opposed them or opposed a group of ثقات. So gharib has connections, a very vast topic which has connection in different places now. It depends on who wrote it. It depends on who wrote it. Tirmidhi has his istilah, which is why when you read the books, you have to read the muqaddimah. You have to read the introduction, because the introduction from the methodology of ulum of hadith, they'll tell you what they mean when they say it. Yeah? No. And gharib doesn't mean da'if. It just means it's on its own as well. And it could be sahih, but point number four is that the ulama don't like gharib. They don't like gharib because of the possibility of it, you know, being weak. The possibility and the probability of it being weak and strange. Which is why they used to warn against gharaib. They used to warn against gharaib. Point number five. The categories of gharib. The categories of al-gharib. Wa alaykum salam tullah. Al-gharib yanqasimu ila qismain. Gharib al-mutlaq wa gharib. What do you think? Jayid, mumtaz. Gharib al-mutlaq and gharibish nisbi. The absolute infirad, singular chain, so to speak. And that is absolute. And that is to who, do you think? To the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَهُوَ الْحَدِيثِ Here's a definition. وَهُوَ الْحَدِيثَ الَّذِي لَا يُعْرَفْ لَهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam إِلَّا إِسْنَادٌ وَاحِدٌ وَهُوَ الَّذِي يُطْلَقُ عَلَيْهِ الْفَرْدِ And that is that narration that is not known to be ascribed to the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except through that chain. It's not known. For example, which hadith do you think? إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ نَعَمْ Actions are but by intentions. Hafiz ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَصِحْ إِلَّا مِنْ حَدِيثِ يَحْيَا ibn سَعِيدٍ and Muhammad ibn Ibrahim al-Taymi and Alqama ibn al-Waqqas and Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu anhu. He said, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his ilal, that it is not authentically attributed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, except that Yahya ibn Sa'id narrated from Muhammad ibn Ibrahim, who narrated from Alqama, and who narrated from Umar. Yani, singular. And that is one of the mizat and the lata'if and beauty of the hadith of Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyyat, in that there's only what? One narrator in each stage of the chain. And then after Umar ibn Khattab, but then the rest of them are da'if, to be quite honest. The rest of those narrations that are attributed after Umar ibn Khattab are da'if, are weak. The second category is gharib nisbi. And gharib nisbi, حفظكم الله هو تفرد الواقع في أثناء السند كأن يروي الحديث عن الصحابي أكثر من واحد ثم ينفرد بروايته عن واحد منهم شخص واحد. This is the surah that we mentioned initially, and that is the nisbi, the relative. It's called the relative gharib or relative strangeness. The relative singular isnad is that narration where during the sanad, the first one was the absolute, yes or no? This one is what? During, at any point in the sanad. During the sanad, the chain is that a narration is, for example, narrated from the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa radiyallahu anhum, more than one. Then after that, there's a narrator who narrated from them after the companions is just one. So initially there were how many? Many. But according to that level here, and that companion, it was what? One. So it's relatively gharib. It's relatively gharib, just at that point. And this, because of it being, salamakumullah, gharib at any point of the chain, that is considered a hadith as gharib. Because remember the definition. What's the definition of gharib? Huh? Man rawa rawin wahid, fish. Fi ayy mawdi'in min al-sanad, yani that which a narrator narrates on his own at any stage of the isnad. And if it's one stage in that isnad, this is nisbi. But if it's all of it, it's what? It's absolute. Mutlaq. Naam. It's mutlaq. Naam. Let's continue to the Thamin Ashir, or are we tired? Gharib, nisbi. It's still nisbi, yeah. There's different categories, but inshallah, I found this is sufficient, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. There's categories like, for example, nisbi li-shaqs, is relative to a person. Huh? Like, this is the only one who narrated from Atta ibn Rabah. So it's gharib nisbiyan. It's gharib nisbiyan li Atta. Yeah, but that's something else. Yeah, it does, but it just means that during that isnad, relatively to a stage in that isnad, it's gharib. But it's, again, this is not talking about authenticity. It's talking about the shekel, the surah, how the isnad looks. Okay? And again, like we mentioned, that this helps us in the issues of shadh. And it helps us in the issue of tafarrud. And it also helps us when we need to support. So if a hadith is da'if, and it's gharib, is it supported? Tell me. No. But if a hadith is aziz, one chain is authentic, is da'if, and the other chain is what? Hassan, or the da'if is not shadid, then they can strengthen. Do you understand? Yes, if then the da'if is not shadid. Naam. Okay, let's go to the next one and final one for today, Al-Munqati. And that is Qismu Ish Thamin Ashar. That is the 18th category that Bayquni, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions in his Manzuma. وَكُلُّ مَا لَمْ يَتَّسُ بِحَالِي إِسْنَادُهُ مُنْقَطِعُ الْأَوْسَالِ. And everything that has not got ittisal in its isnad is مُنْقَطِعُ الْأَوْسَالِ. Is that its chain is broken. Its chain is broken. It's muqatti'. I think this is clear, isn't it? But the issue now, we have muqatti'am, and that muqatti'am includes mursal. So point number one, we have the general inqita'. Okay? Mursal, there's someone missing, yes or no? Yes or no? So that's generally called inqita'. There's mu'dal, which we do next week, where there's two missing, okay, and tadlis as well. But there's specific inqita, and that is the one that Bayquni rahimahullah ta'ala is indicating here, and that is al-munqati if there's only one person missing. So when you hear al-munqati bishakil khas specifically, it means there's only what? One missing. Did I say we're going to do muqdal? We do muqdal, which is after this as well, and it will become clearer. So munqati is opposed to muttasil. We done muttasil 2 weeks ago. Do you remember muttasil? It means that they're what? Connected up unto who? Connected up unto who? Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Munqati, it means that any stage of that isnad, there's one missing. So let's say, for example, we have a chain where there's three missing. Generally it's in qita, but specifically it's not, because specifically it has to be one. May? Let's go to the 19th. The 19th is al-mu'dal. Is what? Wal-mu'dalu saqitu minhu thnani. And al-mu'dal is when there is how many missing? Two. He says, وَالْمُؤْضَلُ سَاقِتُ مِنْهُ إِثْنَانِ. He says, and mu'dal is when there are two missing in the chain. Al-Munqati is where there are one missing. And al-mu'dal, as he mentions here, al-Bayquni rahimahullah ta'ala, السَاقِتُ مِنْهُ إِثْنَانِ. Yani there are two missing. But this tafsil, point number one. The conditions of a hadith to be mu'dal. Specifically. Yani what does it make? What does it make the isnad mu'dal? When does it become mu'dal? When does it become mu'dal? Two things have to occur for it to be mu'dal. The first is that there has to be inqita. Two. There has to be two missing in the chain. There has to be two missing in the chain. That's the first condition for it to be mu'dal. وشرط الثاني, they have to be tawali, they have to be consecutive. So for example, if we have a chain that's missing in the first tabaqa, stage of the isnad, sorry, the second tabaqa of the isnad, and there's one missing in the fourth tabaqa, is that mu'dal or munqati? It's not mu'dal, it's munqati in two places. Wadih? Is munqati in the second tabaqa, and is munqati in the fourth tabaqa. But mu'dal is if, for example, in the second and third, they're missing. That has to be consecutive, one after the other. It cannot be apart. Wadih? That's the easiest way I can explain. I hope that's clear. So munqati' is where? Tell me. Missing where? Any place, yes? And is what? One. Tayyib. If there's two missing, what is that? No, your question should be, where are the two missing? Where are the two missing? The two are missing, one in the third tabaqa, and the another one in the seventh tabaqa, in a hadith that's nazil. Third tabaqa and seventh tabaqa. Is this mu'dal? This is what? Muqati, where? In two places. As for mu'dal? Consecutive. That's it, inshallah. Okay, and with that, inshallah, we'll leave it for today. Bismillah. And inshallah, next week, I won't be in town. So we're going to have to postpone the lesson to the week after, and we'll add an extra day that week, if that's okay, inshallah. So we can finish, and we do mudallis. وَمَا أَتَى مُدَلِّسَانِ مُدَلِّسًا نَوْعَانِ. And that which comes to the mudallis are two different categories, as mentioned by Quni, rahmatullah alayhi. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this be from those lessons that benefit us in our aqidah, in our iman, and encourage us to stick firm to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barik alayhi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.